Hi, and welcome to the 2014 PodAware podcast about Fannish history. Today we have with us
Amazina,
Gingerly,
and Petica. And Itsuno, how about you start with your personal history of your time in Podfic fandom?
Right. So I don't even know where to start, really.
How did you discover it?
I did not discover it. I made it.
That counts. Personal discovery counts.
It totally counts. But I guess, you know, my life in like internet fandom started around, I guess, 98 or 99. But I didn't start interacting with people in fandom and really, you know, feeling like I was maybe a part of this until Life Journal, which was more in the early 2000s. And then suddenly in 2002, I was in the Lotrips fandom. And there was this fic that's still sort of famous in some circles called Sabotage. That's really long, very, very long orgy fic. That's basically a super protracted sex scene with like six or seven protagonists. And I really, really, really loved that story to the point where I had to say it out loud. Like, that's what I felt. And there was this one time I was living with roommates, but there was this one time, I guess it was a weekend, where I was alone in the apartment and I had kind of a flu-ish or a cold or something. So I had this sort of, you know, gravelly voice, and I was a smoker at the time. And so I had a late evening of reading fic and smoking cigarettes. And eventually I thought, you know what, I should record this because it would be nice to do so just so I can listen to it later. And I had a few whiskeys to, you know, give myself some liquid courage. And I recorded that thing, maybe not all of it. I think it's still unfinished to this day, but I recorded an hour plus long thing of mostly porn. And it did not have a name, like it wasn't called Potvic at the time, and I didn't ask permission to the author before I did it. And afterwards I was left with this thing which I really loved, and I started listening to in the car when I was alone and driving somewhere and afraid of getting bored. It was very interesting to me because I'm like many other people, I hated the sound of my own voice normally. So this should have been a quite harrowing experience. But because it was this fic that was completely foreign to me as I perceived myself at the time, written by someone else, and I'd read it with this special gravelly voice in that special weekend doing something naughty in the night or something, it sounded completely unlike me so that I could listen to it easily and enjoy the experience of listening to it. And then I started sending it out to people, but I posted under lock and I said I didn't have permission of the author and I didn't feel like this was a legitimate kind of fan work that I could post out loud, you know, kind of send out in the world in the way that we do it now. So that's how I got started with Potfic. And I'm not quite sure what happened after. There's a hole in my history there.
I came to know you in Stargate Atlantis fandom, where, you know, podfic was a term by then, and I was listening to the stuff that you had recorded. How did you end up there?
Well, SGA was my fandom right after Low Trips. I went from one to the other. And then by the time I did that, I guess podfic had a name and it had communities around it. I'm not quite sure when Amplificathon started, but I know that. Really? Is that late? See, that's 6 years later.
See, Amplificathon started a while after the archive started, though.
Right. Okay. So I was aware of the archive starting. That's the thing. And because the archive started, it meant, I mean, I'm not sure in what order it happened, but for me, I know that when I knew about the archive and I knew you, and at that point, I knew that Podfic was a thing, or like Podfic was, it started to have a framework and a vocabulary of its own and practices of its own, including stuff about permission and whatever. And so recording more just felt like a completely natural thing to do. It was a way to enjoy stories more and help others enjoy them more as well. Because of the way that I consumed my own Lautrup's potfic, there was this immediate obviousness to me, like that it was a way to enjoy fanfic when you cannot normally enjoy fanfic. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, I worked very long hours in jobs that were not tedious, but allowed my brain to wander. And I was surrounded by guys doing their thing because it was a bunch of coders and whatever. So having something to listen for me was very precious. And I guess that was one of the things that spurred me to record more.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, I had something slightly similar. How about you, Gingerly?
Okay, let me see. I actually, I'm really interested in where my history diverges and where it is has things in common with the Natsuno, because I feel like I've known you forever. I feel like I've known you both forever. And it surprises me when I sort of hear these histories that I know diverge so much from mine. And I'm like, well, wait, maybe I didn't know them when I was born.
yeah.
Particularly now that the potfic fandom in particular is so strong on Twitter, we wind up talking a lot, but where you kind of cross that line from knowing a name to being friends is very strange and it's very hazy. But I have been fanish my whole life. I feel like I was a very, very much a latecomer to the social parts of fandom. Mm-hmm. I joined LiveJournal in, I think, 2000. Boy, I think I saw what I would have described as my first podfic there in probably 2005. It was in Stargate Atlantis fandom, which I was in at the time. But before that, years and years before that, when I was in high school, I did go to conventions. I was very active on a face-to-face way, very locally, in Doctor Who fandom. And I belonged to the local Doctor Who club. And we'd hang out, and I was exposed in that way to filking and to audio plays. And audio plays are something that had a lot of vitality in Doctor Who fandom in particular. And having that sort of dramatic reading piece, which I feel like it's a possibly not a direct precedent to podfic, but certainly has some relation to it. When I first encountered podfic on LiveJournal, and I think it was called podfic at that point, but I honestly don't remember. It was a recording by Rach Prufrock, who did one of her own SGA fics.
She was my first podfic too.
And a couple of other people sort of started doing that as well. And my initial impulse was, here I am in fandom. I am completely useless. Hey, you know what? I have this web space, and these people are putting their recordings up on very, very temporary, very tenuous. It might have been Mega Upload or something similar, but it expired.
Probably like SendSpace.
Yeah.
That was, or YouSendIt was the first one, not right. SendSpace. YouSendIt. And it was like 7 days or like 30 downloads, and then it was gone.
Exactly. So I sort of, this was me saying, oh my goodness, look, I can be useful. I have this space. So I started going to people and asking, oh, hey, would you like me to mirror this on my space? And I'll give you the file. And so that's really how the archive started, where I was just like, here's a file link. Use it wherever. I don't care. I'm not charged for this. I'm paying, what, like $8 a month for the space. I feel like here's a way that I can actually be useful to fandom. After that, you know, maybe 6 months after that, I made the first index page that became the archive. And at that point, it was all Stargate Atlantis and Due South.
Yeah, and I just went back on in the archive mm-hmm. on my list of potfics to see what was posted first.
Mm-hmm.
And they are all from August 2007. So for me, I'm starting to wonder, like, if there was really a 5-year break between the first potfic I recorded, which was not called potfic, and then the first actual podfic I recorded in SGA. And it might just be so. I mean,
I think there might have been, because what I discovered when we finally made the sort of leap into, I say we, for a long time, until I magically got an intern for whom I've always been grateful, the archive was very much a one-person job. It was basically me getting up every morning and finding things and uploading them. At that point, it was much, much smaller, so it wasn't that big a deal. Eventually, I wound up moving what was a flat HTML page to a WordPress install. I hit the maximum number of tags very, very quickly in WordPress, and it broke.
Wasn't that like the after the first Amplificathon challenge?
Yeah. In fact, it might have been during the first.
I think it was during. Yeah, because
it was a mess. It was a limit I did not expect to hit. So we wound up moving to Drupal, but yeah, I sort of wound up with several people who volunteered either because they had helped me mod, or I had a couple of people who sort of came out of the woodwork and said, so I'm really curious, what's your team like of archivists? And I'd be like, what do you mean?
It's me.
Of archivists. It's me. And AFLA helps out a lot. And all sorts of people who are sort of around help. We kind of just do it because it's one login to upload things. But so things sort of grew from there. I feel like I've kind of skipped over some things, though, that are more personal. I don't know off the top of my head what my first podfic that I recorded was. I assume that what I recorded was, in fact, I know whatever I recorded, it would have been in Stargate Atlantis. I suspect I probably know the author, that she was an early adopter of that sort of you can do anything with my work and transform it however you want. The archive is the direct result of a conflict that I had with another fan. She was highly prescriptivist. She, in the very, very early days, had some strong opinions that she was very forthcoming in airing them about how you should do podfic, how you should eliminate your undesirable accent, what tone of voice you should use, what was annoying and should be thrown away. She and I were in conversation about a few things that, being very conflict averse, I hadn't really called her on those things. So I will own up that this was super passive aggressive, but it had a good result. She had said, oh, you know what I want to do? I want to create a podfic archive, and that way I can curate only the good stuff. And I can enforce what's quality about this. And that way I can show what people should be aspiring to, and they will all get better and I'll have better things to listen to. And then she said, hey, I'm going out of town for a couple of weeks. And we only knew each other online anyway, but I was like, yeah, bye. And then I was like, oh shit, I have 2 weeks. I have to create an archive right now and have it be a done deal by the time she gets back. And that's what I did.
I mean, thank you.
Yeah. I've been in fandom. Well, I feel kind of like I'm a lifer in fandom too, but I didn't have internet until 2002-ish or 2001-ish. And it was dial-up and my mother would never be off the phone. So I wasn't really free to be on the internet until I went away to university in 2003. And my roommate that I was assigned at school was Fanish. And so she got me into fandom, actually through vids. And I spent my first few years in fandom really being into vids. That first online fandom was Queer as Folk. And I actually remember at the time there was, someone there who would record like bits of quote unquote bad fic or crack fic,
right,
and just like in a dramatic way and share it with her friends. But she didn't do it super secretly. So I would occasionally see like her comments where she'd drop someone a link to the bit of her reading. So that was probably like the closest first thing to fanish podfic that I had heard. Stargate Atlantis was my introduction to podfic overall. As I mentioned earlier, I think the first one I listened to was by Reach Proof Rock, and she was recording one of her own. I remember listening to it being like, this is kind of strange. And, you know, that's not what it sounded like when I read it in my head.
Yes.
I'm not sure what to do with this. And I was like sitting on the bed listening to it, doing nothing. And I had also run into some Harry Potter podfic at that point. And I kind of dropped it until that summer. No, it was a full year later. It was over Christmas. Like the Christmas break from school, I was doing data entry just for like 2 weeks. And I started downloading Podfic and I would listen to it while I was doing data entry. And I was like, this is amazing. It's like I'm getting paid to read fic all day. This is great. Yeah, as I stuck with that job, I would listen as I was doing data entry. And at the time, there was not enough Stargate Podfic for me. Which is kind of laughable now as it's like over 1,000 and so much long, good podfic in that fandom. But at the time, it wasn't all there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking, well, I'm so desperate to listen to anything that clearly there must be someone out there who's desperate enough to listen to me. And I'm like, and I spend a lot of time doing this, so I should choose a long fic and record that. And so I found like this 60K fic that I recorded, and I think I got a good 5 hours of it edited before I lost that file. It never saw the light of day.
Oh, no.
I was really close to getting it done, too, and like it was just like, oh, really? And so I spent a lot of time lurking in podfic fandom at the beginning, where I was just downloading everything, and I had like my favorite readers, and like I'd listen to everything you two had made. And actually, at one point, I was like, well, clearly I'm really slow on this podfic thing, but maybe there's something else I could do. I also have web space. And I'm like, it would be really cool if there was an archive. And so I kind of started poking around at like the e-fiction script that you can install. And I was like, do you think I could, like, how could we get the uploads going? And while I was trying to figure that out, you beat me to the punch and put up your audiofic archive. So I was like, oh, okay, I don't need to do that.
See, if only we had talked.
Yeah, we could have figured something out together. I hadn't been thinking about doing it as manually as you did.
See, the manually piece is a direct reaction to that person who said that it would all be sort of curated into standards.
Yeah, I would not have done it that way.
I wanted to pull every bit of effort off of the podficker and basically say, look, I'm providing a service to you, not, hey, submit it if you want it to be preserved.
Yeah.
I felt like that created a bar.
That's something I've always really appreciated about it, because there's lots of archives out there that don't come anywhere nearly as close as the Audiofic archive did, maybe not as much today, that had like absolutely everything. Because, you know, there's a lot of people that are like, oh, I forget to like cross post here or there. And so it's too much effort. Whereas like, because the Audiofic archives would do it for you, a lot of stuff got put up there that, you know, the person might have been like, oh, it's too casual, I'll do it later, and then it never happens. So I always really appreciated that about the Audiofic archive, even though it's means a lot more back-end work.
Well, yeah, in the first couple of years of the Audiofic archive, I mean, before the Amplificathon community was started, which took a lot of the weight off archivists to actually go out into the world and find stuff, I would probably 10 or 20 different comments left on LiveJournal posts. I had a little script that I would just post, which would say, hi, I help archive files at the Audiofic archive. Here's the link. Would it be okay? Could I please mirror your file? Totally up to you. And then I'd go away, and maybe they'd comment back yes, and maybe they'd comment back no, and maybe they'd comment back, you're a big fucking weirdo, go away. That was actually 90% of the time that I spent in the initial years was going and actually asking permission. After that, the actual uploading piece was a snap. It's one of the things that I would not change. What makes the Audiofic archive the Audiofic archive is the archivists. It's not the archive itself. it's, yes, we're creating sort of a mirror of all these files to preserve them, which is great. I mean, I don't honestly care very much if people are hot linking directly to their files someplace else or not. They're welcome to do that. The sort of skin of it is a finding aid, and that's great. And I know it benefits listeners a great deal. What makes the AudioFic archive the AudioFic archive is people going out into the world and saying, oh, you made a recording of a fanfic.
You know, when I talk to people about the PodFic community, the core community that I'm a part of, because I recognize that the community is this huge thing, I always talk about, like, the Amplificathon-centric community. And I still kind of refer to my group of friends that way, even if they're people that are new enough to PodFic fandom that, like, journal fandom wasn't a thing for them, or they barely even know that Amplificathon exists. But, you know, for a long time, too, all of the PodFic challenges that were run in fandom were run through Amplificathon. Obviously, Amplificathon was a big thing. Mm-hmm. And then, like, PodBang was the first big bang. And then mm-hmm. you had, like, Amplorecathon and all those little things that, like, started increasing. And so much of the PodFit community was connected through Amplificathon that, like, I will always appreciate that so much.
Did the first PodBang start before the first Amplificathon?
No.
Not the calm, obviously, but the Amplificathon challenge.
Sorry, this is so tied up in my personal history because I posted my first PodFics for the first Amplificathon, and that was in 2008. That was, like, April or May of 2008 that I posted them. First PodBag wasn't until 2009, right? That was a really fun experience. And after PodBang, that's when I was like, I could do anything. Yes. And that's when I started heavily podficking. Because I started in 2010, was like my first year of like regularly posting. And out of that, I ran the Critical Feedback Exchange, which only happened that one year. Uh-huh. And that started me running comms as well. So that was a big Amplificathon and PodBang were the two things that gave me the jump start to be a part of the PodFic community in ways other than lurking.
It's really interesting to me that you say that PodBang, it seems like such a more memorable event than even the first Amplificathon, because to me, PodBang is just the scariest thing of all. It's such a commitment. And for me, Amplificathon was a much more interesting. I mean, I'm not even sure if my memory is right, but I think I remember discussing it with you, Jinjali. Like, we were thinking of how to make it so that the diversity within the archive would increase. And then probably you had the idea of making it a challenge. And
yeah.
We talked about the rules a little bit and what does it mean, increasing diversity, and how could we do it? And I think it's really interesting, even historically, the fact that this challenge is at the same time so simple, because the Amplificathon and the AudioFic archives are built on this principle of whatever you bring to the party is fine. Like, yeah. We don't care about your accent. Is there music? Is there not music? Is your mic crap? Is your cat yowling in the background? We have this, you know, complete openness on as to like finished product. And at the same time, because Amplificathon was built with a specific purpose of increasing diversity, it has these super complex rules of how you count your points and what will, you know, help you get ahead. And then it creates, which are like these sort of unbalanced and crazy numbers within the archives that has thousands of fandoms represented, but most of them with only one PodFic because it's a crazy crossover. As a maker, that was much more exciting because I could do something that lasted 4 minutes, whereas PodBang was like, oh, great, we're becoming a serious medium. Now I have to back out.
I think PodBang was more exciting to me as a listener than as a creator, because the job that I was working, I could listen to like 7 hours of PodFic a day. So, you know, a 10-minute PodFic is awesome, but I need a whole lot of them to get me through the day. Whereas if someone gives me something that's like a couple hours long, okay, I can deal with that. That'll really get me through the day. So I was looking forward to it on the listener side of like, look at all the goodies that'll come from this. Mm-hmm. And as a creator, like I said, I didn't have that much under my belt at that point. I had this like one doomed like five, like 6 hour podfic that never saw the light of day. And then like a 20-minute one and like a 10-minute one, like not very much. So like it was kind of casual for me that first year. And one, I was a little naive to how long it would take me to work on something. So that was like a lot of our personal histories with it. And there's a lot of like actual history between the comps that were run and whatnot. I guess I know that there were some podfic type things that were not called podfic before like our personal histories with podfic started. Like I think the earliest thing that I've seen was like a recording done in like the 60s. And it was more like radio play style.
Yeah.
And it was like a Star Trek thing.
That radio play style thing was very, very popular in Star Trek, definitely. Yeah. There's a lot of it out there and a lot of it that was performed live only at cons. But then, yeah, also that was recorded and distributed on cassette.
I don't know about Star Trek, but didn't like Doctor Who have actual radio plays?
Star Trek had a lot that stayed in this sort of amateur sort of classification. Doctor Who had a lot of audio plays that wound up cohering into sort of audio play dramatic clubs, turned into professional audio plays that then would also hire actors who'd been on Doctor Who. That wound up filling a lot of that hiatus. So you've got plenty of audio plays that include the Sixth Doctor and Perry Brown and people like that, Seventh Doctor, lots of audio plays where when the show ended, that's where the actors went. One of the big collections of actual fanfic recordings that I ran into fairly early was Xena stuff. I was in Xena fandom, and I remember seeing it around.
I just found the fan lore page for it. I know there was Carol Xena Fanfiction Tape Consortium that was a big thing.
Yeah, I remember seeing that mentioned. A lot of it has continued to be circulated on recordable CD. There have been a couple of, even into, say, the last 5 years, a couple of sort of ongoing, I am going to read fic as a podcast.
Yep, there's a Willow Tara podcast that I retweet their stuff all the time on the Podfic Twitter account. I've seen other people float around the idea that there should be more podcast type things like that. I believe there is like, I don't know if I'm wrong here, if I'm misremembering, but there was someone who was doing like a video YouTube series like that, where just like, once a week, she would record herself reading it, and you could see like her face, like it was a video of her just recording.
Does all of their audio fic on, or all that I've encountered, and actually this is true of a lot of animation, does them as recordings with still images that go up on YouTube.
Yeah, there's tons of podfic on YouTube, isn't there?
Because what is it called there?
I don't know. I guess I started finding stuff at some point based on a reading of All Things of My Immortal, which was clearly meant as a send-up, but was also a send-up in the form of, I'm going to read all of this to you, and you will see that it is funny.
Yes.
So I guess, you know, it's not so much a send-up as a rendering, you know? And when I found this, I remember sort of going, you know, clicking on related things and finding a lot of other fanfic read out loud and on YouTube. Some of it had images and some of it didn't. And some of it had the text on screen, like at the same rhythm, like karaoke. But I'm not a YouTube user. The idea that people would just do something that is basically an audio recording but then use this video platform for it was very, very odd to me. But it's obviously there and in quite big numbers, I think.
I kind of feel like the podfic section of fandom is the most tightly organized part of like audiofic general community. I remember back in the LJ days, there'd be people who would randomly use the voice post feature and would just like get on their phone, start reading a fic, no editing, and get posted.
I almost feel like we're more tight knit because we've come under fire a couple of times, or we've taken that fire to heart. I'm not sure which it is.
I kind of meant more like close-knit. Yes, we are close-knit, but I think we're also like the most highly organized because we talk to each other a lot.
Yeah.
My point with like the LJ posts and stuff and the YouTube stuff is I think there's a lot of people spontaneously discovering the idea of podfic and doing it on their own. Like,
just wonderful.
Yeah, it is.
So it's what Anatsuno was saying she did.
And like, you see it a lot happening on Tumblr, where people will just randomly, now recording equipment is so much more readily available. Mm-hmm. You see people just like randomly being like, I picked up a mic and recorded this. And they post it to Tumblr and it gets passed around. And they might not even know that podfic is a thing. And certainly I see that happening when I'm doing my Twitter retweets.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people being like, ugh, I wish there was an audio recording of this fanfic. And then people being like, well, friend, I've got a surprise for you.
I mean, obviously it's because we talk to each other. But I think it's also because, I don't want to just put it on the shoulder of a few specific people because that's a bit cheap. But obviously it plays a big role. Like you have to have, For a tight-knit community forum, you have to have people who want a community. And we've had that, you know, gingerly creating an archive and saying, I'm going to open it up for everyone because I don't want the opposite to happen. That's a very strong community-building move. And then we talked to each other, but also we were part of fandom that was already kind of organized and used to thinking about itself in a meta way, and used to thinking about problems of infrastructure and community building and community modding and community encouragement and support and stuff. And so it's not just we talk to each other a lot and we've come under fire, which helps, you know, tightening bond and stuff. But it's also we were infrastructure building minded. So we did that.
Yes.
You know, and this is, could just be me with my own personal history bias, but like the infrastructure is part of it, but it's once you start coming together and you see, when you see someone creating, you can then take your cues from those who are creating and put it into your own, as opposed to if you're creating in a vacuum. And so there was like those early days that I was lurking around Podfic Phantom, I could see some podfickers that were friends, but I kind of felt like a lot of the talk about what went into podfic was happening behind, not necessarily even closed doors. I don't even know if it was happening, where people were just kind of rolling their own thing and they were posting to communities. And like, you had things like Pod Slash that, yeah, like, you know, really firmly put out there, you need author permission. Even having the infrastructure there, I don't know how much of a community there was in the early days because I didn't feel a part of it. But right, as we started having things like more challenges, which increase the infrastructure. And, you know, things like, you know, Podfic Meta opened up shortly after that first Podbang.
Yeah.
Suddenly people were talking about this. And Podbang had like a period of meta after it that was what spawned Podfic Meta.
Yeah, we had, I think that one of the things that you were talking about a few minutes ago about that kind of feeling like everybody was doing their own thing and there wasn't really a community standard. One of the things that I was seeing there, I think it carried through that period of meta and it carried through Pod Meta, which I found that most of those posts were very negative, as in a sort of, you shouldn't do this rather than here's a cool way to do this if it floats your boat. I think that most of the meta and most of the stuff that was said, particularly around music, and putting music into your files was very, very negative. It was very much, you should never do this. And you know what? I don't care if you have something negative to say or not. I just don't want to hear you're doing it wrong.
Podfic Meta, because so many people were kind of like creating on their own and just putting it out there, it was very broadcasted. I got the impression that a lot of people were kind of creating not completely in a vacuum, but maybe not talking as much to each other while they were creating. They were like doing their own thing. And Podfic Meta was like the first time that people could be like, let's talk about what we like and don't like. And so many listeners had been sitting on what they, their opinions for so long that it was like this deluge at the beginning of like, that main post was someone being like, y'all have shitty taste in music, stop putting it in Podfic. But if you read the comment
that
section.
You get the valid sort of, this is an access issue, which is like, people should hear that.
Yeah, and, you know, if you read the comment section, there was a lot more back and forth of, like, well, actually, I love Podfic, like, music in Podfic, or I don't mind it, or, like, and then there was that one valid bit that came out of, like, accessibility issues that, that brought about a lot of people creating, like, music and non-music versions of their Podfic.
Yes.
But it's, I find it so interesting as someone who's been really into Podfic Meta for many, many years of, like, I remember those early years where, yeah, people would come in and they would, like, shit on some idea. And Podfic fandom's reaction was mostly like, oh, I'm sorry you feel that way. And, like, maybe they would change, but, like, they hardly ever called you on being an asshole.
Yes, there was no calling on being an asshole. And there was so much of, oh, you have an annoying accent. You just, well, you sound like a girl.
That wasn't in Podfic Meta.
No, exactly. I mean, I have a really fond feeling for Podfic Meta,
though
it's kind of a failed community in the sense that it's almost not active anymore and all that. And it created a lot of...
That's journal fandoms, though.
But, I mean, not just. It fizzled pretty fast because of the negative feelings. But what I liked about it and what I still like about it is that what brought out the negativity was the fact that it was created for listeners to express their opinions on Podfic.
The person who created it was primarily a listener, but I don't think it was specifically designed for listeners because
most
of the people that talked on it were actually Podficers.
The bit that I'm really fond of, her specific goal was because Podfic is basically an art form, like fic is an art form, we have to have spaces to review it.
Yes.
And she wasn't talking about, you know, reviewing a specific Podfic, particularly because she wasn't very interested in that personally, but she wanted a space to review Podfic as a genre and Podfic as, you know, emerging standards and maybe discuss what we liked and don't liked in Podfic in general. And so that brought forth all of the negative feelings that people had about some Podfics, which soured kind of the discussions and stuff. And for me, this is a very important piece of infrastructure in fandom is space for consumers to review stuff and to talk about stuff, even negatively.
And certainly when you look at through the posts of Podfic Meta, like you can see a lot of changes that happen in Podfic fandom. Like I said, those early Podfic posts, you could basically come and shit on someone. And I remember there was someone, I can't even remember who basically came into the comment section and like, I think she made a post being like, I don't get Podfic, explain it to me. And a lot of people like tried and she's like, no, that's dumb. I think it was Podcast that stepped up at one point and said, like, you're being rude. Mm-hmm. Like, stop this. And everyone else was just kind of like, oh, I'm sorry you feel this way. And that person was like, no, I'm having a meta conversation. Go away. And I got really pissed at that. But I, like, sat on my hands and Podcast was the only one that called her out on it. And then, like, I remember, like, maybe a year later. I don't even remember how much long later it was where Bejeweled posted a big piece on her journal talking about Podfic and like the things that she was saying, like the actual things that were being said were nothing that extreme. She just didn't really get. She had kind of like, oh, you know, I have this hereditary problem in my family. There's a good chance I'm going to go blind. As an accessibility thing, it would be great if there was a way for me to listen to fanfics because I love that. And look, there seems to be this Podfic community, but I don't really like how Podfic is done. I basically want full-on radio plays. But the way she worded it, like, I think a lot of people got implications from it that she didn't quite mean. And I know this because I spent like a week trying to respond to her, and like I kept like paraphrasing what she was saying, and then I'd go and look it up and be like, oh, that wasn't actually as bad as I felt it was. Yes. And so like my meta on that is like fucking huge, but like people for the first time were losing their shit. Like they were getting so angry at this post, which I'm like, this is not anywhere near the worst thing that people have said to us. But I think we had just had enough of passively taking people's shit that we just lost it at her.
That post was already after at least a few Annan rank threads, where we actively took shit, not just passively.
Oh, yeah.
And now I think we've gotten a little bit too far in the extreme, where, like, when anything happens, podfickers get super upset super easily. And I recognize that I could be one of these people that just, like, we get really sensitive and get angry quickly.
I think we do have a problem with the total absence of positive feedback. And, okay, total is overstating it, but I know that I get some just from running the archive. I know that I get probably an email a week that just says, it's usually only one sentence, and it says, I am so grateful for this archive. Thank you so much. And I'm like, oh, yay. Okay, that makes me feel good. But nobody's actually coming at me in a negative way for running an archive. They have come at me in a negative way for being creepy and why would another fan read porn at you? Or why would an American read something that was supposed to be British? Or why would you record it this way? Or I don't like your phrasing. And you hear that shit a lot. And the positive side that you're getting is downloading.
These days, I find, well, especially if you do post to AO3, most of my feedback is kudos, where I just get the emails of kudos.
That's actually better than downloading.
Yeah, I totally appreciate them. Feedback is a weird thing for podfickers. And like, yeah, as I kind of discovered, I feel like in general, people are getting shittier at commenting. Because yeah, like this year, one of the pod togethers that I did, and it's gotten like probably about 30 comments, but like the first 10 of which were, hey, author, I think you need a beta reader.
Yeah.
And podfickers do get sensitive because like we get really weird feedback. Like we don't get very much written feedback. And a lot of the feedback that we do get can be like kind of backhanded compliments or, you know, statements of like downloading or where can I find the text of this yes story? And so you get really downtrodden when that's most of what your feedback is. Though I do kind of feel like it's a general state of feedback that's gotten yeah shitty, not just podfic feedback. Podfic feedback was never great.
Feel like we're kind of leading the shitty feedback thing.
But I wanted to come back to this idea that we've gotten maybe more strident as a community and more prone to react super violently to negative feedback or like general, you know, wanky negative stuff said about Puffic. I don't think that we've gone to the extreme that much. I agree with you that there has been overreaction at times because sometimes a specific post came on the heels of a really bad flame war in, you know, an Annan wanky place or whatever. I mean, the reason that I don't think we are too strident now is that it feels to me that our positions are maybe more extreme or maybe more radical, but they have solidified. I don't feel like we're more violent in our positions. Of course, our positions differ, you know, there's variety or whatever, but I feel mostly like now I don't take any more shit. I don't get even that angry that easily anymore, but I just certainly do not take any more shit.
I don't know. I'm really involved in these things. Even if I don't talk about it as much anymore, I tend to follow it. I've been brought to tears multiple times over this stuff. So I still kind of feel like a little more of the extremes that you're negating, or not negating, but disagreeing with. I think we are getting a little firmer in what we want. And I think podfickers have a lot of shit that they have to deal with that the average fandom person doesn't realize or has never thought about or, you know, is just not sympathetic to. And we've gotten, you know, it's kind of like when you get pushed around all the time, you get bruised. And so it doesn't necessarily take a lot of pressure to hurt when you're pushing on a bruise. And I think it doesn't do us much favors when we start yelling right away because someone doesn't realize that they're pressing on a bruise. And I don't think it's fair that we have to pull back on that, but I think it makes things worse that we get upset so much.
I mean, and also, of course, that affects my perception of what even is going on, because most of the time it means stuff is going on that I'm not aware of. But I'm pretty sure, if just for myself, that I have gotten less, not less bruised, or I guess maybe less bruised. Maybe I have a thicker skin, but it's not so much that I feel I have a thicker skin as that I really feel that my position has firmed up. And now I'm not even going to wade in to discuss things with people who hold assholeish opinions. I'm just going to sit there firm in my non-assholeish opinions and just not even go there.
How about we talk about some of the major LiveJournal communities? We've pretty firmly hit up Amplificathon.
Well, Podslash was a major LJ community. I mean, it definitely it was.
It was one of the big ones.
Was a big hub.
Especially like it started off as Podslash. That's arguably where the term podfic came from.
Yeah, I think it had been thrown around before that.
Or it's what popularized it, maybe. And I know, like, it started off as a place just to post slash in general, but, like, their rules at one point said, okay, you can post any podfic, because apparently this is the only place that posts podfic. Like, I remember that was in the community info when I first discovered it.
And that was part of the push for Amplificathon, instead of just a fest.
Yeah. Probably one of the first, LJ groups I ran across, and this was before I even knew what Podfic was the Shoebox Project.
Oh yes.
That was a big thing, and that I saw that in like 2004
I was so
ish.
excited when we actually started to be able to archive that.
I didn't even know there
Like
was
the
a
huge
podfic
project.
of the Shoebox Project until like last year. For me, this was always a fic. I had no clue there was a podfic.
So, like, I was never involved with any of that, but I did see it and I saw it fairly early on. I mean, I have a lot of comms that I feel have like influenced Podfic fandom. Not that the Podfic Feedback Exchange was a comm on its own, I just kind of ran it off my journal, but I think that made a lot of people come to some realizations about critical feedback when it comes to their podfics. And that was like on the heels too of like Podfic Meta opening, and suddenly this deluge of people being like, as a listener, this is what I want.
Yeah.
I think it would be very different if it was run today, and I've had some people ask me to, but I have not had the energy.
It would be really interesting. I found it really, really hard. I mean, for me, the realization with that challenge was coming to grips with the fact that it's actually pretty hard to review Podfic. And even though, you know, I continued privately or publicly bemoaning the lack of feedback for a long time, on the heels of that, I actually, you know, made my peace with, you know, desire to get detailed feedback, because I realized as a listener, I am crap at writing detailed feedback for others.
Overall, Podfic fandom is pretty good at realizing that tastes are really subjective,
Yeah.
and one person's like favorite thing ever Podfic is another person's like, how can you even listen to that crap?
Yeah.
Like, you get the whole range of it, and that's okay and beautiful.
It's enormous.
You know, on LJ, there was like Podfic Tips,
Yeah.
and many people created tutorials and stuff. Was Podfic Tips one of yours?
No, I've created tutorials for it, but I don't run it.
I've
Right.
linked to a whole bunch of different tutorials prior to Podfic Tips, and I was so happy when Podfic Tips actually showed up, because it was finally someplace where I could send people who had questions.
Yeah.
Yes. And those are the questions that come back the most often from beginners as well, as starting to wonder what kind of mic I need, what kind of software I need, how can I do this?
It's kind of awesome that we now have like the Podfic mic, even though it's not the one that I use. Everyone's like, a good mic that's a little bit more expensive. You're ready to step up and invest some money, get the Snowball.
The one thing that I would I would interject here is just as a follow-up to when we were starting to talk about communities, Podslash, which was created in August of 2005. And then the second one that I followed, which was the Stargate Atlantis, which was March 2006, which seems SGA like a really Podfic. Big gap. Yeah, SGA Podfic. And those were both really lively, really effective communities, and they were also central. The supernatural stuff was spread over like 10 different communities. I don't recall there ever being a really together due south community or Canada 6 Degrees community. There was a House Podfic community that was actually very, very productive for a while. And House was actually a really big fandom for a short time on the Audiofic archive.
It's still in the like top 20-ish.
I don't think anything new has been coming in for it for years. It's been really interesting.
That is one thing that I've noticed. There hasn't been as many Podfics fandom specific comms. Like a lot of the I ran American Idol Podfic, but like half the posts on there are ones I made. I was like, someone posted this, they didn't link to the comm, so here it is.
That's really one of the, I think, one of the last successful fandom specific comms is AI. I mean, I think that we've moved into a different format of fanish creation and practice.
I've seen some on Tumblr. Like there's one person that I follow that does Clint Coulson master list on Tumblr and a Steve Buckey master list on Tumblr of all of the podfics they can find in that pairing. But it's a master list. It's not like, because Tumblr isn't so great at announcement.
Yeah, it's a different way to do community. And I don't think it's wrong. I think it's certainly less convenient as an archivist.
I just wanted to say this with Tumblr and Podfic fandom and history, there's just one thing that I can mention, even if I've dropped the ball a little bit, and it's Podfic Platypus Tumblr.
And that was such a great thing when, like, I think it would have had a bigger impact too if it had come before the Twitter Podfic fandom, because after the first Podaware, there was like a friending meme for Twitter, and suddenly like all of the Podfickers were like all friends with each other on Twitter. And like that year was like a beautiful year to be a podficker on Twitter, because it was like this giant chat room where the meta conversations that were happening there got really casual, because how formal can you be in 140 characters?
Right.
And it was all of these podfickers just suddenly getting off their chest like feelings and getting support for each other, and like lots of terms were created, like pod blocked. And
so grateful that Podblocked was created as a term.
And like so many people, like it didn't matter what fandom you were in, you would be, if you were a podficker, you could find podficker friends, and it was great. And now I think we got a lot of that out of our system, and Podfic Platypus really helped with that too, where it's like, this annoying thing I want to bitch about it, I will make a platypus about it. Want to record podfic? Neighbors won't shut up, or lawnmower outside, and you know, stuff like that. That was really great, but I think we got like a lot of that stuff off our chest in that, or the main parts of the community did. And we sorted a lot of stuff out through that process. And now we're beginning to scatter a bit. And I think we're beginning to turn a little bit more towards our individual fandoms. We've got like, we started off with the power fandoms where like, you know, Podfic was basically just SGA due south and Supernatural for a while. And then it got really spread out and there was a lot of other things and a couple like medium sized fandoms. And now we're getting back to like the Avengers and the like hockey fandom or whatever, where there's a ton of people, like the Podficers just follow the Podfic. And we're getting back to like really big ones. And a lot of the community stuff that's happening is happening within those fandoms, as opposed to like on a whole in multi-fandom podfic comms. It's not happening on LiveJournal anymore, so I'm not always seeing it, but I see it more on Twitter, and you see it happening like on AO3. Like I still go to Amplificathon and the archive first to find podfic, whereas like I was talking with Bessie Boo the other day, who's in hockey fandom. She's like, I go straight to AO3.
Yeah, because that's where people are posting first.
Well, I just realized this week that I'm still just relying on Amplificathon. And sometimes on Twitter, a Teen Wolf Potfic announcement account, because that's my fandom right now. Basically, I have to get into the habit of checking AO3 because there's just so much stuff that I just don't even know is being posted if I don't check AO3. For me, this is just a very new realization. I think I thought of that for the first time yesterday, where I was like, what am I missing? Like, where is all the potfic? And it's just not on the platforms that I'm on. So I have to learn how to go and get it now all over again.
I guess to wrap up a bit, historically, potfic fandom was really insular, either like the potficker on their own and then like the community on their own. And now I think we're branching out a bit where it's like, there's a lot of people who, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, they would have said their primary fandom was potfic. And now they're still as into potfic as they were, but they are naming like their source material as their primary fandom.
Yeah, I think that was just a little sway, though. I mean, I really think that was very brief.
Yeah, that was a phase where we needed the company of others because we were pelted with too much shit. And because we formed such tight bonds resisting like the hardship of being a potficker, at some point we were like, well, basically, this is my fandom. But
although, you know, you say that, but I still feel that way. Podfic's my main fandom.
Podfic is my main fandom. I mean, I really only interact publicly with Podfic, and I'm fine with that.
And I'm so happy that you did. I mean, this is really weird because it feels like a bit, you know, mutual admiration society or whatever. But for me, I really cannot imagine what Podfic fandom would be like without either of you. Like, you've both been so active in so many different ways. It's not just like my personal history with each of you. It's really, I do think, at the scale of fandom in general and Podfic fandom in general, this landscape would be very, very different if either of you were missing from it.
Yourself from this conversation, but I think that goes for you too, Anatsuno.
Well, that's nice of you to say.
No, I mean, the things that you said specifically, I mean, you've been a big part of the development of Amplificathon.
And, you know, maybe toot my own horn a little bit, but so many of the comps that I've run, like Multipodicity and Podfic Bingo and Pod Together, I've done with like a specific thing in mind where it's like, I would like to create the change I want to see. Yes. And I use my comms for that. And looking at like repods and multipods were not that big of a thing, even though I know you two were one of the first groups that consciously made a step towards normalizing repods and multipods.
I think they're really important.
I do too. And enough that I made Multipodicity and ran it, and I've done a lot of meta on it. And now, you know, there's still like weird feelings for some people with multipods, but it's not like the horrified thing that it was when I first got into fandom.
There's a lot of recognition that it's individual weird feelings.
Yes, and it's not that it's inherently a bad thing.
It's not wrong.
And that's Podfic history, is according to the three of us. asterisk, there's tons missing. But I hope you enjoyed listening. Thanks. Happy Pod Aware.
Yeah. Thank you for being there for this mess.
That's fun.